There are around 110,000 veterans living in Hawaii. That puts the Aloha State in the top 10 nationwide for per capita veteran population. Now, caring for those veterans is the job of the Department of Veterans Affairs, the second largest department in the federal government. But VA facilities here in Hawaii have an even bigger challenge. They have to provide services for all of America's veterans living in U.S. Pacific Island territories, an area of more than 4 million square miles. Recently, it came to light that veterans using the GI Bill to pay for college had been underpaid by the VA. The reason? A computer glitch on the department's aging IT system. Here is Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard speaking after the report surfaced.
For months now, hundreds of thousands of our nation's veterans have continued to face delays and underpayments of their GI Bill benefit, causing an extreme amount of emotional and financial stress on themselves and their families, impacting their ability to pay the rent or pay the bills or their tuition. We have a responsibility to be the voice for so many who are not here, for our millions of brothers and sisters across the country who are still struggling, who still are not getting the care and benefits they have earned. This is why we are gathered, this is why this is so important, and why the leadership of this country must recognize that if you want to thank veterans for their service, you have to take care of them and fulfill the promise our nation made.
And Secretary of Veterans Affairs Robert Wilkie has made it his mission to bring the VA and its computer systems into the 21st century. He's been touring VA facilities across the nation and was recently in Hawaii. He spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty about how he plans to change the way the VA does business.
Well, the biggest challenge facing the VA is not what most people think. But I'm going to first answer that in the context of my first 120 days, and it'll be 120 days tomorrow. My job at first was to calm the waters, to put the turmoil of the first half of this year behind us and walk the post. I believe by the end of this trip, I will have been in 21 states in 120 days, everywhere from Massachusetts here to Honolulu up to Anchorage. And my job was to reinforce with the 370,000 VA employees that I believe that they have the most noble mission in government. I'm also convinced that the problems that VA have, not with the medical care that our veterans receive, our problem is getting our veterans into the system, which means it's primarily administrative and bureaucratic. In Hawaii, what does that mean? In Hawaii, there are 129,000 veterans on these islands. 55,000 of those veterans are not in our VA system. They are not experiencing the kind of care and compassion that I see here at Tripler, that I saw on the island of Hawaii, and that I've experienced in many places in the VA. So we have to make sure that we have a welcoming hand, that we break down the barriers to those veterans who want to come to VA, who need to come to VA.
A lot of people probably don't know that the VA is the second largest department within the federal government.
Yes.
And a lot of the problems that are facing the VA seem to be more in organizational in manner. What kinds of things are you doing to address those problems?
Yes, and that's what I mean when I say most of our problems are administrative and bureaucratic. You're right. We're the second largest agency. 370,000 employees, 1,200 clinics, 143 hospitals. So what are we doing? We're modernizing our IT infrastructure, some of which is 50 years old. We're embarking on the most ambitious business transformation program in the history of VA. Everything from creating a modern electronic health record with our DoD partners to changing our supply chain, making our supply chain modern, computerizing it so that never again will we read stories about VA employees having to run across the parking lot to a private hospital to find the material and to find the products that they need to take care of patients. So the business side of VA is what is attracting a great deal of my attention.
And you mentioned IT issues.
Yeah.
I know one of the biggest IT issues facing your department was that the VA computer systems could not communicate directly with the DOD computer
right.
systems. What's
right.
being done to address that problem?
So that is an objective that both General Mattis and I have, and that is to create a system so that when that young American enters the military entrance processing station, an electronic medical record begins to come to pass, and that record is built throughout that individual's military career, so that by the time he or she decides to leave the service, there is an electronic handoff to the Department of Veterans Affairs. The days of people like my father, after 30 years of service, 30 years of jumping out of airplanes at Fort Bragg, plus terrible wounds from Vietnam, the days of people like my father carrying around an 800-page paper record are over. And the system is more than just an electronic scanner. It will be interoperable, which means that if a veteran goes to a pharmacy in her hometown, that pharmacy will be able to punch into our system that information so that VA stays at the center of a veteran's health care and is able to monitor everything that goes on in that veteran's life. It is a comprehensive, holistic, interoperable medical record. The other thing that it does is that it will modernize our appointment process, which means the veteran can request that appointment, punch in the information, he gets an immediate answer as to when and where that appointment will be taken care of. We are testing it now in the Pacific Northwest, in Washington State, and Alaska. And Secretary Mattis and I are committed to joining both of our departments at the hip, because we are at the one end of the national security continuum.
Mr. Secretary, in another IT-related issue, it was recently reported that veterans using the GI Bill to attend college were being underpaid, and it sounded like that was based on an accounting error using the wrong cost of living data
right.
from a different
right.
year. Could yep. you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, that was the forever GI Bill. The Congress passed what was called the Colmery Act a couple of months before I became secretary, and actually the day I entered VA on the 1st of August, that legislative change was put into our computer system, and it didn't work. The system could not handle it. Again, we're talking about a 50-year IT system. So after a month or so of trying to fix it, I just called a halt to the project. I said, we are going back to the old way of distributing those funds. I made a commitment, and I made a commitment to the Congress and to veterans that we will make everyone whole. But right now, my responsibility is to make sure that no one misses a housing payment and no university misses a tuition payment. I talked to many university professors and veterans and had to make a command decision. It was just insanity to keep trying to fix a problem that I knew was actually the problem was hurting veterans. I made that decision. We will comply with the law, but my responsibility is also to make the program and the law work for veterans.
But the department will make sure that everyone is
yes.
reimbursed.
Yes.
Looking a little bit more locally, Mr. Secretary, here in Hawaii, I know that the healthcare facility here in Honolulu at Tripler Army Medical Center provides healthcare for most of the Pacific Islands,
right.
the neighbor islands of Hawaii and all the U.S. Pacific territories.
Yes,
what
sir.
Are some of the unique challenges for the office here in Hawaii?
Well, distance. That is the be-all and end-all. And I will tell you, in many of the speeches that I have given, both in front of the Congress and in public, I often talk about Washington, D.C. and the eastern United States still not understanding the scale of the American West and the Pacific. We are responsible for a catchment area here in the Pacific that is 4.6 million square miles. we have to travel incredible distances. There are places, and you just mentioned some, like the Northern Marianas, where there are very few medical providers. So what we're doing here is creating a robust telehealth system that gets our professionals out into the islands, particularly when we're dealing with mental health issues, so we don't have to transport veterans across thousands of miles to get to Honolulu. The other thing that we're doing is that we're bundling services. We are actually sending our medical professionals and our benefits officers out to the islands to make sure that the veterans have a real human contact with VA employees that obviates the need to get on a plane, probably with their families, at cost to their families, and get them here to Honolulu for basic services. We're going to continue to do our best to beef up the number of VA employees here in Oahu so that they can serve the rest of the Pacific. But we're going about this in creative ways, and I will be back probably in the spring to visit our Pacific territories to see just how well this is working.
Unemployment nationwide is at some of the lowest rates we've seen in decades. Do you
Yes.
have challenges attracting the qualified labor that you need?
Well, yes and no. We have challenges attracting the same kind of talent that the private sector medical systems are having problems attracting. America is short of mental health professionals. America is short of primary care physicians and internists. We have to be as creative as possible in bringing those professionals into the system. In terms of overall employment, this year we've brought in over 11,000 new employees to VA, so we're doing well at levels below that of medical professional. But some of the authorities that I have been given with the passage of the Mission Act allow medical center directors to offer relocation payment. We have programs that allow us to offset medical school debt. And we actually have great flexibility, greater flexibility than any other department in the federal government, to offer salaries that are not on the usual federal pay scale. So those things are in the toolkit to be used to attract as many health professionals as we can. But again, we are not divorced from the realities of greater American society.
Secretary Wilkie, there's intermittently a push to privatize portions of veterans' health care. Do you have a position on what role privatization, if any, plays in providing health care to veterans?
Well, I'm going to answer that the way I've answered it under oath. If we are in the business of privatizing VA, we're going about it in a very strange way. 10 years ago, we had 240,000 employees. Today, we have 370,000 employees. 10 years ago, our budget was $98 billion. Today, our budget is $200 billion. I believe that even with the expansion of choice, and one thing that is not known is that since World War II, about 30% of all veterans' care has been taken care of in the private sector. So that number has not changed very much. But the reason it has remained stable is the reason that VA will never be privatized. It's because, and you're a veteran, and I'm still serving in the reserves, you and I want to be around people who understand our language and understand our culture. And that is the unique culture of military service. And as I've said in front of the Congress, my guess is that even as we open the aperture on choice, and because certainly in the continental United States, people have to drive incredible distances in some of our western states, 900 miles round trip, to get to a VA facility. We will give them the opportunity to stop along the way if they desire it. But my guess is that because of the unique nature of military service, the majority of veterans in the United States will choose to stay with VA. Our medical care is as good or better than any in the country. Dartmouth, the Ivy League, just released a survey yesterday where it said that our medical care is as good or better than any in any of the regions that our VA serves, and I'm very proud of that. So I think the privatization issue is more of a political curtain raiser than it is an actually a practical thing.
Mr. Secretary, we're in the midst of America's longest war, Afghanistan,
yes.
Coming up on 20 years before too long.
Right.
And we often hear that the largest cost for any war comes years after it's concluded.
Absolutely.
What are the challenges going to be for your department long after you leave when the veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, the war on terror, are starting to age?
Yeah. Well, I have the benefit of having seen the aftermath of Vietnam as a child. My father was gravely wounded in the invasion of Cambodia. In fact, spent a year recovering here at Tripler. I also saw when he returned to the Army after a couple of years of rehabilitation that he wasn't even allowed to wear his uniform off Fort Bragg when he was in the 82nd Airborne Division. So I've seen what happened when a country turned its back on warriors who had sacrificed so much, particularly those in the Vietnam era. It's my pledge, and I believe the Congress is fully on board, that we don't let that happen again. The wounds that we have seen coming out of Afghanistan and Iraq are unlike any that we've dealt with, in the sense that we have seen more young people come home missing arms, missing legs, surviving wounds that in my father's day in Southeast Asia would have cost them their lives. So it is incumbent upon us to make sure that the Vietnam attitude never returns, that we are always on the cutting edge, not only of medicine, but we are on the cutting edge of emotional care and emotional respect. And if we do that, then we will not suffer what a previous generation of warriors suffered. And I think we are very well positioned in the coming years to deal with the after effects of Iraq and Afghanistan in what you correctly posed as our longest conflict.
Robert Wilkie, United States Secretary for Veterans Affairs. Sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you, and I thank you all, everybody listening out there, for the aloha spirit of this great state. It is heartwarming to be here, and I will say to you, it is heartwarming to be in a place where you don't have to explain service to any citizen of this state. So I thank you, and I thank you for what you've done for your country.
That was Robert Wilkie, Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the Trump administration. He was in Hawaii touring local VA facilities, and you heard him here on The Conversation from Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz.